You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
You know him, you love him, from the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts. He is Stu Gotts. John Wiener joining us right now on 98.7 ESPN. What is up, Stu Gotts?
Hello, sir. I don't know if they love me. I think most of them love me. They don't know me. You know me. Do you love me, Carlin?
I've always loved you. I've always loved you. We lost touch for entirely too long, but I have always loved you and been entertained by you for many, many years. So my first question is simply this. How did you land Tom Brady on the podcast Stupidity, which, by the way, was rated in front of Oprah's podcast last week?
Yes, bigger than Oprah for the second time in my very short podcasting career. I thought the how was just going to be an open-ended question of just how.
Well, I thought about that, and then I didn't want to insult right out of the gate.
I was trying to think of an answer. So I'm not certain how. Just sort of happened, you know.
Like, yeah,
that's this industry. How did we get Tom Brady? God, that's a great question. I think the funny part about everything that happened yesterday and with my podcast, Depository, is I think one of the really funny things that happened is, of all the places that Tom Brady could have landed at ESPN, all the credible places that Tom Brady could have landed at ESPN, be it First Take, be it SportsCenter, be it Get Up, be it your show, the Michael Kay Show, the one place he landed was on a podcast called Stupidity, hosted by me. And so the radio shows that have had Brady.
Well, it's you and Howard. It's you and Howard.
Yeah. Laugh out loud funny.
I look up Howard on my Stern screen yesterday watching SportsCenter, and it's Tom Brady talks golf with Stu Gotts.
Yes.
And I did a double take. What?
So here's the, I'll try to give you the quickest version of the story that I can. We have one of our TV producers, Charlie Yule, is just one of those guys whose family is very well connected. And we've known this for years, okay, Carlin?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he is, like, to give you the example, which is the way we kind of set it up in the podcast, this is the type of, these are the type of circles that Charlie runs in. Now, granted, they're the circles that his grandfather runs in, but who cares? I mean, it is what it is, right? Like, in this industry, I gave Charlie a ton of praise because you do what you got to do.
And, absolutely.
You know, right. You got to leverage grandpa to get someone on, then you leverage grandpa to get someone on.
Hey, listen, and grandpa's merely a pawn. You got to make it happen, Captain.
Exactly right. So a couple of years ago, Chris, Charlie, well, and this is the best way I could describe him to you, okay? Charlie was at the NCAA Final Four with his grandfather. They hopped on a private jet after the Final Four. This was at the height of the Golden State Warriors. The next, you know, that Sunday, we see Charlie at the Warriors 3:30 nationally televised game on ABC. And he's not just at the game. He's sitting with the Lakers, okay? Like,
the owners of the Warriors.
Yeah, yes. And he is sitting front row watching the game. We all see him and we're texting him, and we're having fun at his expense. And then he's done watching the Warriors game, hops back on the private jet, goes to the NCAA championship game, which was on Monday night. So Final Four, Warriors with the Lakers, back to the championship game. And then when that's over, Tuesday morning, he hops on the jet. The next time we see him is Friends and Family Day in Augusta. And so, I mean.
So all of a sudden, it's not a mystery as to how this guy got Tom Brady on the show.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly right. So, Charlie had called me. Charlie loves golf. I love golf. Chris Cody, one of my producers on the radio, also loves golf. And we decided with some of these live golf events coming up, you know, you got the Skins game this weekend with Rory, Dustin, Ricky Fowler, and the guy that we call the fourth golfer.
Right, the other guy. Yep.
Yeah, the other guy. That's at Seminole. And then, of course, you have Tiger Phil Part 2 with a little twist with Peyton and Brady playing in that the following week. And so Charlie and his grandfather, they're members at Seminole, which is down here in Florida, just a little bit north of Palm Beach, right? And Seminole is just one of those, you know, top 10 courses in America. Really hard to get to get on, really hard to become a member. Charlie's grandfather, of course, has no problems being a member there or getting on. And so he had informed us that Brady and Rory and Jim Dunn, who run Seminole, were all playing, and he would be able to connect us with him as they came off the course on Friday night. And so, long story short, Chris, I am actually on the golf course. Now, look, we all have questions, right? We're all doubting whether this is ever going to come to fruition or not. And I told Charlie, listen, I'm committed to this. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, but I'll be there, you know?
Right.
I'll take a chance. So he pulls me off the golf course, I don't know, around 6:20-ish on Friday night. And, you know, like, Chris, you would have loved the 30 minutes leading up because 6:20 becomes 6:50, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you know me, like, I'm pulled off the course. It's a Friday night. Like, we're starting to get on Charlie a little bit, you know, making fun of him. Is it going to happen? I can't believe I left the course for this. And I'm telling you, we were like 2 more minutes, we're done. 30 seconds later, Brady pops up on my Zoom screen.
That's amazing.
Right off the 18th at Seminole, where he had just played with Rory, and he's standing there with Jim Dunn, who runs Seminole, and Charlie's grandfather, the great Sam Reeves. And lo and behold, we had Tom Brady on for what I call 7 or 8 mediocre minutes. But we'll take it.
Yeah, listen, it's Tom Brady, and that's all that matters. Yeah. And he's that's outstanding. Of course, the familiar voice of John Stugotzwiener, Stupidity, is the podcast. He's got Brady on it this week, as well as Roy McIlroy. All right, you are a Port Washington guy, Long Island. Yeah. So what do you make of the Jets right now?
Oh, wow. It's hard because every time I get excited about the Jets, they let me down. And every time I'm not excited about the Jets, they let me down.
Right.
And so it's like, Chris, just a lifetime of letdown. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I was born in 72. Carlin, I've never seen my team play in a Super Bowl. And it just drives me, and I'm not certain I ever will. So, listen, here are the positives. You got Brady out of that division. We have no idea if the new quarterback's going to be any good. I suspect that he might. I suspect they might go get Cam Newton. But as it stands right now, you have to feel as good about your chances as a Jet fan as you felt in 20 years, simply because Brady's out of that division. You don't know how good Darnold is. You have a feeling he's going to be really good, but we still don't know yet after 2 years. But if he's good, there's a good chance the Jets have beat back, at least for a season. We'll see how Tua develops here. You might have the best quarterback in the AFC East. And so, you know, you get Mosley back, who's healthy, who got injured week 1 last year. I mean, listen, I hate to be optimistic, but if there's ever a chance for the Jets to kind of go out and grab the AFC East, it would be this year. So I enter this year as optimistic as I've been in quite some time about the Jets, in large part, and Chris, here's the funny thing. It doesn't have much to do with the Jets. It has to do with the rest of the AFC East.
Yeah.
Finally being out of there.
All right, so. Well, you watched him up close and personal. What is your take on Adam Gase?
All right, so I like, man.
You got kind of a strange relationship with him, right? He used to come on the show a little bit, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, Gase has been on Stupidity, my podcast. Now, he's been on a show with me in Levitard a couple of times when he was the head coach down here in Miami. And then right after he had the opening press conference, the Weir press conference with the googly eyes and all that stuff,
right.
He came on with us, I think, you know, a day or two after that. So we have a good relationship with Gase. Mine is funny. When he was the head coach of the Dolphins, it was 15 minutes from me. I didn't speak to him once. And now I'm down here in South Florida. He's the head coach of the Jets, and he and I are kindred spirits. Like, we're friends. And so I will say this on the front end. I like Adam Gase. But I will also tell you, before I had this relationship with Gase, when he was initially hired by the Jets after being let go by the Dolphins, I went on Golic and Lingo. I said, this is a good hire. Because this, Chris, what happens in the NFL is so funny. He's the perceived. First off, they made the Dolphins made the playoffs under Adam Gase. Let's keep that in mind, okay? They made the playoffs under Adam Gase. So I was excited because what happens is these guys get dubbed like quarterback whisperers, and then they go to a place, right, their offensive coordinators, they go to a place, and if they don't get it done in 2 or 3 years, suddenly they're done. And I like that the Jets at least said, hey, you know what? 3 years ago, he's the coach everyone wanted. And, you know, they won a division in Miami with, or they got there as a wild card team to the playoffs 1 year in Miami with Belichick and Brady still in the division. And I liked that the Jets hired him. So I liked the hire at the time because I think Adam Gase has a really good offensive mind. And I think ultimately, once he gets a full season with Sam Darnold, it's going to look really, really good. And so for those reasons, and quarterback being the most, you know, important position in sports, if he can make Sam Darnold good to great, he, by extension, is going to be good to great, and I'll be the Jet coach for, you know, for a good, you know, 6-7 year run here. So we'll see what happens.
He is Stu Gatz from the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. More with him. We'll have a few more laughs when we come back. It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. We have returned. We're getting into everything from sports to the existential with the great Stu Gatz from the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz and, of course, his podcast, Stupodity. All right, what have you been most entertained by in The Last Dance?
Oh, it's been fun, right? Like, reliving all the... Yeah. Reliving all the stuff in the 90s with the Knicks has not been fun. But Carlin, he was this weird, weird, weird athlete where you almost didn't mind if Jordan beat your team because if he didn't, you couldn't watch Jordan anymore. You know?
Right.
So it was like you almost wanted it to keep going. I think some of the interesting takeaways I've had, I will tell you that never in my wildest dreams did I imagine Jordan. Now, people are going to complain because they think it's not enough, but we'll take it. I'll take it because Jordan never said a thing. At least he's allowing you to see some personality. At least he's allowing you to see that there's something more than the greatest athlete we've ever seen. There's a real person underneath there with real emotions and real feelings and all that stuff. So that's been interesting. I think the coolest thing for me has been, you know, you could sit there. So, you know, I have two daughters. One of them is really into sports, kind of, you know, like the way we are, right? And to watch the first episode of this 10-part docuseries and have her watch, so be able to show them what you've been telling them about and then for them to be able to actually see it with their own eyes and then have your daughter turn to you in the first, like, 15, 20 minutes of episode one and say, oh, Dad, this guy's better than LeBron. It's not even close. like he just sticks out. Like, yes, I raised her well. And so to have her say that to me and kind of verify, justify everything that I've told her that anyone else wants to listen has been the coolest part. Because, like, Carlin, there is no doubt, right? If that dude played today, 20 years, 30 years from now, he'd be the best player in the league.
And he'd score 45. And under these rules, he'd easily do that.
I don't care how the game has changed. He would adapt to it and he'd score 45. You're right, he'd win title. That's it, because he just was. Forget about the mental stuff. Carlin, he was better than everyone else, and that's it, period. And just,
All right, if you were Pippen and Phil Jackson says Tony Kukoc is getting the shot, would you bail?
Oh, geez, that is a great question. Man, most people, based on my persona on the show and my personality, would probably think that I would, but also not know. I mean, listen, yeah, I would go.
People don't know that you're an incredible team guy.
Right. Well, listen, playing the role that I play and, you know, doing what I do for that show, I would hope that people know I'm a team guy. So I don't mind being the second guy. Now, Scotty was for a while, and they got a taste of being the first guy and didn't like when Phil went to Kukoc instead of what was now the Michael Jordan of that team, right? So Scotty didn't like that. I would have, listen, Scotty regrets it. There's no way in that spot, I'm not going in the game. And just what made it so emasculating for Scotty and so embarrassing is that Kukoc hit the shot. And so,
Phil was right. Yeah.
yeah, Phil was right. So I would have trusted Phil and it would have been the inbounds pass and, you know, celebrated and then brought it up with Phil afterwards if I was still upset about it. But I there's no chance I'm missing. Like, listen, there's no chance. You're Scottie Pippen. You finally get to do it without Jordan. you're on the verge of beating the Knicks. Like, get in there and go do it, you know? And so, I probably would have seen that through and gotten the game.
All right, two last ones before the lightning round. First okay. one, the two of us and Dan and a few other people were supposed to play in a charity poker tournament over the weekend online. We had myself, Maggie Gray, some other people had some technical issues in getting into it. But in the chat room, and I noticed that this was a poll on the show yesterday, were you as alarmed as I was that when John Hamm showed up to play, he announced himself as Ham Bones is here on a chat?
It made my day. I mean, exactly how you have to enter the chat room, the Skype room, whatever it was. It wasn't. I spent more time watching Don Cheadle play poker than I played poker. I was mesmerized by it, but no, that was a good job. But yeah, when you have a nickname like that, you gotta enter and announce that nickname and announce that you are here. I found it. I can't believe you watched that. By the way, you didn't play a single hand.
Not
and
one.
You finished ahead of me. You finished ahead of me. And Levitard.
How is that possible?
Well, listen, at the beginning, I was the only one there. Everything was, listen, Scarlett, me and Levitard never felt so old, and neither of you, because you were texting me, how do I get on this thing, okay? At least I was playing, Carlin.
Yes.
Okay.
It was bizarre. I wish I could. I'd like to think I'm technically savvy. I was absolutely lost in this thing. Couldn't get in at all. Couldn't get in.
Everything was moving so fast.
It was crazy town. It was absolutely crazy.
And plus, you had to deal with Skype. There was a Skype angle too. So you're dealing with God, we sound so old. But anyway, long story short, it's safe to say at around 2 o'clock, and I discussed this yesterday, Levitard and I combined have never felt older than we did at 2 p.m. on Saturday trying to play on PokerStars.net. Now, I started at that table, and I was unbeknownst to me, I was just collecting blind. I was taking all your money. By the time Levitard and Nelson Figueroa got in there, I mean, and I'll get to Figueroa in a second, I mean, I was a chip leader of this thing. And then people started to come in. Levitard got in there. I think Darling was in for a couple of minutes. And then Nelson Figueroa entered. And when I say everything was moving so quickly, nothing, and I mean nobody, was moving faster than Nelson Figueroa.
Really?
That guy, oh, he is a poker bully, that guy. So while you were doing nothing and not betting any money,
well, I'm listening to Jeff Garland screaming in the background.
While you were doing that, Figueroa was taking me and Levitard money, and so we finished fifth and sixth. You and Maggie Gray finished ahead of us.
Of course,
the two of you didn't even play.
Not one amazing. Hand. Not one hand.
Good job out of you.
What is the good job out of you? What is the
Good job of you,
and listen, your podcast with Dog was hysterical. Listening to the two of you talk tennis is amazing. And that's why you have to, if you're not subscribed to Stupidity, you have to subscribe to it because it's hysterical and he gets great guests on.
It's a bit stolen directly from Craig Kilborn, but we just changed the name to avoid litigation. It's time for the lightning round.
All right, let's do a little quick lightning round. You ready?
Yeah, right.
These, of course, come from the French host Bernard Pivot and the novelist Marcel Proust, the questions that all need to be asked. What is the best coming back from break music, Stugatz?
Ooh, the best coming back from break music. Are you talking individual song or
yes.
are you talking
song?
Song. That is a great question. See, Carlin and I care about this stuff. What people don't know is Chris and I have done everything in this industry, okay? We have been board op producers. We care about the rejoin music. There is a flow and a sound to a radio show that for some unbeknownst reason to me and Chris Carlin, we care about it.
Sadly, this is true.
Yes, and Mike Ryan would be in the same boat. He cares deeply about the music. I would say probably I will tell you, the guys in Bristol, they're controlling stuff, and our guys down here in Miami are really controlling the music the way they normally do. I would tell you what I've been enjoying. I love the Dead, and so they've been playing Touch of Grey a lot coming back in. And so that, to me, is like, if you're going to go Dead, a Dead song, and that's certainly my favorite band, that's probably the song you come back in with. So
all
I would
right,
say Touch of Grey.
That's fair. Myself, I would have gone Truly, Madly, Deeply by Savage Garden, but that's just me.
That's just you, yeah. And there was nothing shocking about that.
Exactly. What would you be doing if you were not doing this?
Ooh, wow, good question. I thought about this with Doggy a little bit on the podcast. I'd be in finance. Like Chris, I was headed there anyway. There was a time. Like, Chris, you know this industry so well, you have to put an end date. Like,
oh, there's no doubt.
You're either going to make it or you're going to go do something else because you could only make, $5 an hour for so long. So, as a producer back when we were getting into the industry. And so I actually, for years' time, I was doing finance at a morning show locally down here in Miami, meaning I was just 6 to 10 a.m. And when I was done, I would go over to, the First Miami Securities, and I would go work for them. So I would have headed down that route, where my brother is, where all my friends are. I'd be doing something on, either private equity, real estate, or Wall Street.
And you would have been remarkably successful at it. Absolutely.
Well, I at the time I left First Miami Securities, I was like top five at the company, and so I had like my biggest 3 months, and I left because listen. You want to do this, and I was offered an opportunity, and there was no way I was passing that. I didn't care how much money it was making. But yes, I've often thought about how I'd be crushing the finance world right now. So.
All right. Are you an artist that truly will not be appreciated until after you're dead? Or do you feel fully appreciated now?
I don't know. I think once you start feeling appreciated in our business, you've lost your edge. I really believe that. Like, because, Chris, you're only as good as your last show.
I live for insecurity. It is the lifeblood.
I'm going to steal that and use that, yes. because when I see you, like, I hold the microphone so tight, and really what I'm doing is symbolism, for I am latching on to this job with everything that I have.
No question.
And that's what we do in our business. That's just what we do in our industry. We're talking so much, I forgot what the original question was. What was the question?
The question was, are you an artist who won't be appreciated until after you're dead?
This was supposed to
be a lightning round, by the way.
I know, I'm sorry, but when we do it, like you and I grew up on Mike and Fred, and we just all kicked out.
Exactly.
That's just the way it is. God, I latch on to it with everything that I have. I'm trying to think.
Wow, this really got deep all of a sudden.
Yeah, no, it did. You might have to ask it again.
Now I have you wrestling with your mortality.
Yeah, no, listen, I feel appreciated, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, the day you start thinking you're appreciated in this business.
Totally agree.
Is the day that it's over. So I would tell you that I know what Dan and I have done has kind of, listen, there are certain shows, right, that kind of retweak the, I'm not giving us more credit than we deserve, but we've tweaked the format enough and a little bit where I think even you as a historian of sports radio, Mike and Chris tweaked it, I think we tweaked it, and really what we started doing was just, we set out to be a little bit different, and in this industry, it doesn't take much to be different because so much of the stuff is the same. It sounds the same. And I don't say that as an insult to anyone else. I'd be doing it the same way. But Levitard set out to do this thing differently. And so I just think the role that I play, like Chris, my career really took off when I stopped trying to be Mike and the Mad Dog and started kind of mocking Mike and the Mad Dog. And so, yeah, I think I'm appreciated. I think we'll be more appreciated as time goes on as guys who change the format, because I think you see, even in New York, whether it was Boomer and Carson or Greg and Boomer Now, or even, you know, Element of Your Own show, or a lot of different shows where you'll, whether they admit it or not, they're doing some of the stuff that Dan and I have been doing for the last 15 years. And so, and we're cool with that. It's flattering.
Absolutely.
The highest form of flattery. So yeah, I feel appreciated now. I think I'll be more appreciated as time kind of rolls on.
All right, last one. Who wins in a fight, a bear or a shark?
Oh, wow. That is Carlin. Good question. I almost cursed. Carlin, good question. a bear or a shark? God, I wish I had Ron McGilton as a new expert.
Neutral site. Yeah.
Neutral site. So neutral.
Yeah, like Vegas. Neutral site. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're taking the shark out of the water, you know?
Let's just call it space. It's in space. Okay. That's your neutral site.
Where all animals exist at the same level.
Exactly.
With the same strength and all that. A bear or a shark. I'm going to go bear just because I feel like the arms, the legs, the claws are easier to use and something I'd be more comfortable with. I'm going to take the bear over the shark. I think the shark probably will, but I don't know what I'm doing. Just the use of arms and legs is why I'm taking the bear.
Yeah, it feels like bear minus three. I don't know.
Which will put them at home.
Exactly.
It's the field goal whole point, home advantage.
You're the best, man.
I come here, though.
Appreciate the time. Thanks for popping on. You got to check out Stupidity if you haven't subscribed, where all the podcasts are available. And, of course, the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts every day on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Thanks, brother.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Be safe. Everyone up there, be safe. I am from that area, so people, please, like, you know.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.